Hey guys, so to start off, my name is Alana, and this is my summative project for HRT 3MT. We were asked to choose a faith and compare the practice of that faith in Canada and another country. I chose to do my project on Judaism, and I'm comparing Canada and Israel. I chose to compare it to Israel because Israel has such a large Jewish population. According to the Jewish Virtual Library, there are 14,511,100 Jewish people in the world as of 2017. Canada has 390,000, or 2.7% of the total Jewish population, whereas Israel has about 6,451,000, or 44.4%. This ranked Israel at number 1 and Canada at number 4 on the scale of countries with the largest Jewish population. Alright, so let's talk about some Jewish holy days celebrated in both Israel and Canada. Just a little warning, I'm going to mess up on some of the pronunciations just because I don't really know any Hebrew, and yeah. So, our first holy day is Rosh Hashanah, or Head of the Year, and it's the official Jewish New Year's Day. It's actually pretty interesting. They blow a ram's horn in the synagogue to announce the New Year in a memorable way. They call this the shofar, and they use it to kind of protect against evil, which is really neat. That's something that they do both in Canada and Israel. In Israel, it's a very big day, similar to like New Year's here, where, you know, businesses have shorter hours. That's something that they do in Israel, but for this New Year's. So Jews believe that during the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, God judges each person's deeds and decides who shall live and who shall die in the next year. Jews pray a ton during this time and fast for an entire day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. This day is just devoted to praying for forgiveness for any sins which they may have committed or the community may have forgiven. And when the day is finished, they blow the ram's horn again. So this one's super interesting. There's a festival called the Week-Long Festival of Booths, or Sukkot. On Sukkot, traditional Jews each build a small, open-roofed, booth-like building in which they may take their meals or even sleep. The roof of this booth, or Sukkot, is covered with green branches taken from trees and shrubs. And it's actually super interesting. They don't cover it all the way so that they can see up into the stars like they would have in the past. This is obviously something that's not really celebrated too widely here in Canada, but it's something that's actually pretty big in Israel, especially like a few decades ago. Some people still do it now, though. Next up is Hanukkah, which nearly everyone has heard about. It's very closely tied to the Jewish religion, and it's both widely celebrated in Israel and Canada. It's the celebration of the victory of the Maccabees over the Syrian army. It's celebrated over 8 whole days because basically the story goes that they were supposed to have oil for one night, and it actually lasted them 8 days, which gave them enough time to make new oil. So it's really important to them. Children are often given gifts during Hanukkah, one for each day. It used to be customary to give children gifts of nuts, or Hanukkah gelt, which are token sums of money. But since it's close to Christmas, modern Jews have taken to giving a gift each day. The next festival we're going to be talking about is Tu B'Shvat, which is the New Year of Trees. They set aside time to really just embrace and celebrate nature and recall God's commandment asking them to take care of the world. They donate quite a bit of money to planting trees in Israel. This is something that's very big in Israel because, you know, they're planting the trees there and they're really in tune with the nature aspect of that. It's big here in Canada too, but we don't really do anything widely known to celebrate it. It's mostly within them. Some people who are Jewish will send in money to Israel for planting trees. Next up is Passover, or Pesach. Passover celebrates when the Jewish were led out of slavery and into freedom. For 8 days, Jews eat no normal bread, but only the flat, cracker-like bread called matzah. The Bible tells how as the Jews made their hasty preparations to leave Egypt, they had no time to prepare bread for their journey. Instead, they placed the dough, which obviously had like no time to rise or bake, and they just put it on their backs, and the sun baked it into matzah. This is something that's widely celebrated in both Canada and Israel. In Israel, it's obviously a little bit more wider known just because so many Jewish people are celebrating it, whereas in Canada, smaller groups are doing it. But yeah, everyone does it pretty much. Moving on to conflicts, really when it comes to Israel, the most widely known conflict is the Arabic and Israeli conflict. There have been wars going on for quite a long time, basically from 1948 to ongoing. There have been many, many lives taken, over 90,000 at this point, and a lot of it is over land. This is because in the Bible it's stating about how Israel is Jewish land and it is historically their homeland, and the Pan-Arab movement also believes that, like, historically and presently it's belonging to the Palestinian Arabs. So obviously, you know, it can't belong to everyone, and so that's where the fighting comes in, because for the most part, the Jewish people have America and Canada and Britain on their side, so there's a lot of anger and fighting between the two. Some notable wars and violent events that have happened were the first Arab-Israeli war in 1948 and 1949, the Six-Day War of 1967, the War of Attrition from 1967 to 1970, the First South Lebanon Conflict of 1978, the First Lebanon War of 1982, the Second Lebanon War, the Gaza War of 2008 to 2009, and to 2014 to present Israeli-Gaza conflict. So this is obviously super sad, but what's even more sad is the cost of everything. Not just money costs, but obviously the cost of the lives. I mean, it did take over 90,000 lives between 1945 and 1995. And something that I just noticed that's really upsetting as well is that 18,000 of those lives were civilian, which, I mean, like, that any life that is taken is obviously so upsetting, but the fact that, like, civilians are being brought into this, I mean, obviously they're going to be brought into it at some point, but that so many of their lives are being taken over this is just really upsetting, because really, when you think about, like, the big picture, it's just land, you know? But not only is it costing them lives, it's costing them so much money. Between just 1991 and 2010, Israel's had to pay almost $1 trillion, and Iraq and Saudi Arabia have had to pay respectively $2.2 and $4.5 trillion. Those numbers are just insane to me over something that's obviously causing so much, like, pain and anger and, you know, nothing positive is really coming out of it either. So, yeah. Other than that, in Israel, there's not too much conflict within the nation over, like, anti-Semitism or anything like that, because really the majority of people are Jewish, so it doesn't really make sense to have any hatred against Jews there, because most of them are Jewish. So, moving on to anti-Semitism in Canada, we often think that this is, you know, not really evident anymore, but it definitely is. Anti-Semitism in Canada basically started as soon as the Jewish community tried to immigrate into Canada, so around 1930, and this is shown by, in 1930 and 1939, Canada rejected almost all Jewish refugees from Nazi Europe, taking in only 4,000 of the 800,000 Jews looking for refugees, which is really honestly just unbelievable, considering that our nation was literally built upon us taking in immigrants and giving them, you know, farmland and a chance at a better life. And so this just really shows, like, how much hatred there was against the Jewish people. In 1934, there was literally a man who created a party that was almost exactly like the Nazi party. And this resulted in people, you know, going to anti-Semitic rallies, boycotts. You know, they created propaganda. And that's just ridiculous because, you know, we don't think about that type of stuff when we think of Canada. And honestly, we don't really hear too much about that, you know, negative side of what happened to them in here in Canada. So it's kind of shocking. In 1934, all interns at a hospital in Montreal walked off the job to protest them hiring a senior intern who had graduated from, you know, reputable university in Montreal just because he was Jewish, which honestly is so embarrassing and just ridiculous that you would walk off from a job just because of that. And he actually did resign a few days later, which is just, it's sad. Because he obviously, you know, went through so many years of schooling and everything, and I can't imagine the feelings he must have felt just because he was being treated like this because of his religion. It's just ridiculous. In 1943, there was a poll that put Jews in third place behind the Japanese and Germans as the least desirable immigrants to Canada. Honestly, I'm not even sure why they would make a poll like that, but again, that just shows the mindset that people were in at that time. Something that's super interesting, actually, was that in 1948, an article was written on anti-Semitism in Canada by a very popular magazine. And so basically what they did is they took two young women and they applied for all the same jobs with the same, you know, type of qualifications. And one was under a very Canadian-sounding last name and one was a very Jewish-sounding last name. The Canadian-sounding last name, you know, got almost all of the interviews for when they handed in the applications, but the one with the Jewish sounding last name was told that all the application spots had already been filled. So, which was obviously not the case since the Canadian sounding last name was asked to go to interviews and stuff like that. So basically the magazine went to all these companies afterwards and was like, you know, can you explain this? This is what we did. Like, why is it this way? And honestly, I cannot believe what they responded with. They were told that Jews did not have the right temperament, or that they did not know their place, or that we don't employ Jews, which is honestly, that is just so embarrassing to read, and it's just sad to think that that, and that was just in 1948, so that was not that long ago. Again, when I think of anti-Semitism in Canada, I do not think that it is still prevalent, but obviously it is still very prevalent since, you know, there's still a ton of vandalism acts that are going on, there's violent acts, there's harassment that are still going on. Just in 1989 in Alberta, there was a public school teacher, and he actually told his students that the Holocaust was a hoax and that Jewish people were plotting to take over the world, and he would fail students who did not share this belief, which is just ridiculous. Thankfully, he was, you know, taken to prison and everything like that, so we definitely took a stand on that one, but there's still so many acts to this day, like to 2018, that are just unbelievable that's happening here in Canada. There's so many different hate crimes, like people are breaking into Jewish people's houses and drawing these really heinous images on the walls that are very anti-Semitic, which is just embarrassing. There's something called the new anti-Semitism in Canada, which is basically people not only being, you know, racist towards Jewish people, but they're targeting Israel as a whole because they're seeing these alleged war crimes and similar claims like that. And so they're boycotting different things like this, and they're actually, you know, starting to attack synagogues and stuff like that, which is just honestly ridiculous. There's something called an Israel Apartheid Week that it happened at in Montreal, York University, and the University of Toronto, which is honestly just unbelievable because that's happening, you know, in 2000, like that's happening 2009, 2010, like, so it's fairly recent, and that is something that should not be happening at all. Like, I cannot believe people are getting away with stuff like this. Thankfully, I think, you know, Canadians are trying to move away from our past with that and really try to embrace everyone, no matter what religion, what race, what anything. We're really just trying to be more open. At least that's how, you know, I see things. I could be a little oblivious to that. But I think people are making, you know, definitely an effort to try to be more welcoming and inclusive as a whole. So we're going to move on to the biggest conflict that is the most well known with Jewish people and the wider community, which is obviously, you know, World War II or Nazism or anything like that. So obviously most people know about the Holocaust, but there was a man named Hitler from this range from 1941 to 1945, and it was referred to, you know, like Germany was referred to as Nazi Germany, and it was just so destructive to Jews as a whole and their culture. And basically his goal was to eliminate the Jews. He saw them as, you know, pests, and it was just really honestly terrible. It was a horrible time. He managed to kill 6 million Jews during this time period, using, like, the Nazis used death squads, which just conducted massive open-air killings of Jews in the territories that they conquered. And then in 1942, the Nazi leadership decided to implement what they called the final solution, which was the genocide of the Jews of Europe. And so they actually built these camps, these extermination camps, for the specific purpose of killing Jews as well as other quote-unquote undesirables, such as people who openly opposed Hitler, like gay people. Really, it was just awful at the time. So this still is a huge deal. They killed so many people, and they did this. They would go to these areas where Jewish people lived, and they would just gather them all up, you know, and shoot anyone that, you know, wouldn't go and all that. And they went, often by train, to death camps where they would all go into a specific location. Some people would go into the gas chamber where they would be killed by gassing or shooting, and other prisoners would commit suicide. A lot of the times they would die from exhaustion. They were given so little food and were put to such hard work that their bodies just couldn't handle it. They would starve to death. And disease was so common because, you know, they're all basically huddled on top of each other at all times. So obviously disease is going to spread like wildfire there. So they were seen as like less than animals, really. It was honestly just disgusting. When they would die, they would just take out any valuable or useful materials like gold fillings or hair, and just like mass graves where everyone was piled on top of each other. It's really just such a sad part of, you know, this world's history. But it's definitely the biggest, like, conflict, I guess, that the Jewish people have had. But really, like, it's hard to say it's conflict because they really did not do anything to deserve this other than be Jewish, which is obviously not a deserving factor at all. It was very, very rare for people to escape from these camps. And, you know, like, I just can't believe how many people, you know, suffered from this just because they were Jewish. It's honestly very, very sad. So that was my summative project for HRT 3MT. I hope you guys learned at least something today, you know, or at least are more aware of, you know, the acts that are going around in our community, and just a little bit more knowledgeable about the Jewish faith. Thank you.